Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Hi, and welcome to the Reinvention Virtual Chat, which will also serve as an amazing recording and conversation for the Power of Reinvention podcast. And for those who are tuning in for the first time, just a reminder that I actually started this conversation around reinvention many, many years ago, way before we were all kind of forced or invited to start reinventing parts of our lives in the last couple of years because of the pandemic. And what's so extraordinary is that when my book came out, Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For? It was the eve, it was literally my pub date, was the week before the pandemic sent us all running home to, you know, work from home and kind of, you know, really hunker down. And it became a really amazing time for everybody to really reflect on their lives and what they were doing and where they were at in their lives and whether or not we wanted it. Parts of our life were being analyzed, tweaked, thought about in some way, shape, or form. And the book sort of became the guidebook for the last 2 years, which was not exactly what I was anticipating when I published my book. But out of that was also born a couple of really beautiful things. One being this Reinvention Virtual Chat series, where I have all these wonderful guests and faces who join us every week. And now we're down to once a month because everybody's back to their very, very busy lives. And my podcast, The Power of Reinvention. So I interview and talk to incredible people from all walks of life, discuss and really explore all the possibilities of how we can live our best lives. I'm super excited for my guest today to be Roger Osorio. I'm going to share a little background on you, Roger, but I want to welcome you first. So if I can ask you to unmute your mic and say hello.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here and to be able to talk to you about this because I think our conversation is going to be really interesting. We both care a lot about reinvention, and we understand and appreciate the power of reinvention. And we come at it from different perspectives, which I think makes the conversation even more exciting. So I am looking forward to this.
I love that. Thank you. So let me give a little context to our guests on your background, Roger. Roger's an author and an adjunct professor at University of Pennsylvania and founder of the School of Reinvention, a community-based coaching platform empowering people to launch and succeed in personal care and career reinvention. His first book, The Journey to Reinvention, How to Build a Life Aligned with Your Values, Passion, and Purpose, is a number one new release and number one bestseller on Amazon in two categories. Thank you. Hold that up again. And for those who cannot see this, we'll definitely put links in the show notes for folks to tune in to where they can get it. But after graduating from Penn State University, Roger worked for a Fortune 500 company in marketing and sales. In 2008, after falling in love with a part-time job tutoring math, he quit his day job to reinvent his career. And since then, Roger's earned a master's degree in psychology and reinvented himself into a middle and high school math teacher, international speaker, executive coach at a major tech company, Ivy League educator, entrepreneur, and author. I mean, come on. Who says you can't do it all, right?
Exactly.
So along his journey to reinvention, Roger's worked with clients that include Google, LVMH, JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, the World Bank, IBM, Inter-American Development Bank, Computer Electronics Show, Techstars, and so much more. So we are going to delve into this, and I am just thrilled that, you know, you're here, Roger. We had a great conversation last week, just kind of catching up and getting to know each other a little better. And it's really fun when you get someone in the room in these conversations that brings their perspective to reinvention, to life coaching, to the tools that are going to help us evolve as humans. And I think we're exposed to so much and so many opportunities, but pulling the trigger on that can sometimes be really challenging for a lot of people. We fall into our own habits. Habits are hard to break. we know we want to do something, but, you know, committing to it and making those changes can be a little difficult. So before I go on and we delve into this conversation, I want to read a little excerpt from my book, Reinvent Your Life. What are you waiting for? This is chapter 8, which is a chapter about habits. If you want to start working out, pick something fun and start small. Take a beginner's class and start slow so that you're not in pain for a week and never want to go back. You want to learn a language? Go on podcasts or the iTunes store and download a language program. It's right there. You don't have time to do it? How about waking up 30 minutes earlier, taking a walk, and doing two great things at the same time every day? Can you imagine how you feel after just 10 days? Do you believe others have skills greater than yours? Are they smarter? Do they have some special gene that makes them more capable than you? Or do they just summon the courage to try something they kept thinking and talking about? If you actually spent 1 week changing your habits, not watching your favorite TV shows, not monitoring your social media, and you woke up 30 minutes earlier every day, or canceled lunch dates to try something you're interested in, writing, listening to language lessons, photography, planning a trip, you would be on your way, just like that. So this is what we're going to talk a bit about today. And I know that Roger's got a lot of incredible tools in his tool chest that I think really have contributed to not only your own life, Roger, and I want you to really share your story, but to other people's lives. So without any further ado, we are going to delve into this interview. And I have a first question for you, Roger. And that is, who was little Roger when you were growing up? Where on earth did you envision yourself being in this big wide world of ours?
Yeah, you know, I think if I go back to, well, very little Roger, a doctor originally, or some sort of scientist, it was the very original idea. But then as I got into high school, I started to develop an interest in business. And I, you know, developed some curiosities around it. And I thought, hey, you know what, when I go to university, I think that's what I want to focus on. And so when I was at Penn State University, my thought was, I want to go to a major corporation, a Fortune 500 company, and work my way up the, you know, corporate ladder. And this was the big dream. And I even had a specific company in mind. It was General Electric, which today, not so exciting. But back then, when I was graduating from university, it was a much more exciting company. And, you know, for me, that's what I really wanted. I was really excited about the opportunity to lead a major organization. And I thought that this could be a great way to set myself up for a 20 or 30 year challenge, you know, something that would take that long, right? And then I got out there, started working in that first corporate job, and I loved it. Honestly, like, I worked with cool clients. I had Anheuser-Busch as a client. A lot of fun when you're a young single guy. They are a great client to have because right. They take you to all these great parties. And so I worked for amazing people. I mean, the people I worked for, I mean, they treated me like a son. They took me under their wing. They guided me. They opened doors for me. They taught me things. And so I absolutely appreciated the people I worked with. But then as I got about three and a half years into that experience, I started to fall in love with something else. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, you know, this new passion was challenging what little Roger wanted. And that person, you know, the younger version of me wanted this corporate career and to move up that corporate ladder. But all of a sudden, this maybe new and evolved me had another interest in mind. And it was based on a part-time job I had at the time, teaching math at a learning center really close to where I lived. And I only got to work there 6 to 8 hours a week because it had to be after my corporate job. So as soon as I was done, I'd go home, I'd, you know, quickly just kind of freshen up, eat a quick snack, and then head over to the learning center and teach math until, you know, they closed or whatever. And I had an absolute blast doing that. I mean, I just completely fell in love and just felt so fulfilled to be able to help students break through limiting beliefs, break through barriers in confidence, to being able to really unleash their best math self. And this for me was just the most amazing part of my day. And so you do that for about, you know, 8 months, and you really start to wonder, what's going on here? Like, what am I doing? Why, right. Like 50 hours a week, or whatever it was, you know, they're okay now compared to this, but these 6 to 8 hours are absolutely amazing. And I can't wait to get to the end of a day to work more. Like, I mean that. And so I really started to think about that. And so, you know, that's kind of like, you know, that was that moment where all of a sudden, you know, young me got challenged, where all of a sudden I wasn't interested in what young me wanted to do. So yeah, the young me wanted to work my way up that corporate ladder and, you know, maybe one day hit that C-suite level and run a large organization. But then, you know, the next version of me, the next iteration, had different thoughts, different ideas.
You know, it's so interesting because you recognized, which is sometimes a very difficult piece right there, that passion for something. And I think, you know, in some cases, people say, I wish that I knew what my passion was. We hear that a lot, right? And others who sort of know they have this passion for something, but really are sort of afraid. They have that fear, that risk that comes with taking a leap. I think the way that you sort of experimented, and I know it's sort of a big part of your vernacular that, you know, sort of experimenting and figuring things out is a great stepping stone to, you know, trying it on, as I call it, or putting on those rose-colored glasses and just kind of like living it for a little while and seeing. You really did lean into that. So was there, you know, you said 8 months of that. Most people would be like, wow, that, you know, it's a long time to be experimenting with what I want to do. Were there things that were kind of holding you back from making a complete pivot? Was there sort of a process or a journey that you had started to map out for yourself going, well, if this happens, then I know that this is the right course of action for me. And you might have been afraid to lose that sort of full-time job because of the security that came with it, which is always, you know, a risky thing for anyone. Sort of making that pivot or that reinvention. So what was that kind of like for you?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned this this challenge that a lot of people have is like finding that passion, like what's my passion? And to your point, some people are like, I know what it is. Like, you know, without hesitation, they can spit out their passion. Others, I have no clue what it is. What I often tell people is that passions are something we develop. It's like a relationship. It's like getting into a relationship. You go on a lot of dates with different passions. And then, you know, some might kind of, ooh, that was really interesting. Or I'm curious enough to go on a second date with that passion. And then that turns into a third and a fourth. And so, you know, to answer your question about those 8 months were spent building a relationship with this passion, teaching math. That's what I was doing in that process. I was really getting to know it incredibly well on different levels. Mm-hmm. For instance, one of the things that I helped happened along the way was that I started to develop a vision for how I might be able to make a greater impact on the world. That happened during that relationship building period, those 8 months. I started to think, wow, I'm making an impact on students directly, one-on-one, but could I scale that impact? And then I started to have this vision. What if I worked for a graduate school of education? Then I would get all these people who come in with an open mind, looking to learn something new so that they can make a bigger impact in education. And I had no idea what that would look like at the time. And that was 10 years, almost to the, it was actually 10 years to the month before I got the offer to teach at the University of Pennsylvania Graduate School of Education. And it was just a thought, like maybe this is a way to reach more teachers. So those 8 months are really important. I was building a relationship with this new passion, getting to know it better. And that's what gave me the confidence. So, you know, I wouldn't say that I ever felt like a hesitation to pivot. Mm-hmm. I was just in a relationship. And then it's like, it got to a point where, you know, you get when you're dating somebody for like 8 months and then it's like, you know, is this going somewhere?
It's like the tipping point, right?
Yeah. Is this going somewhere? Right. Like, you know, maybe like, you know, maybe we should like make this exclusive. Maybe, you know, we get into a thing and we call it a thing or something. And that's exactly like what happened to me. And it was around, I think it was March, April of 2008, when I was about 8 months into that experience that I realized, I think I want to get into a more serious relationship with this passion. I've been dating it for a long time now, and I feel really good about it. I understand myself and how I enjoy it. And I know that I enjoy it because I gave the time and I put in the time. And I think that there's something I bring to this relationship, much like, again, a regular, I felt like I bring something, but I can still learn more.
Yeah.
I don't know everything about being a great teacher or being a great math coach, but I can definitely learn more. But I do bring something to the party, and I'd like to explore that further. And I'm going to need more time. I'm going to need more space in order to take this relationship to the next level. And that's how I saw quitting. quitting for me was, now I have the opportunity. If I do this, I can start to develop that relationship into the next level. What would that would look like? Maybe a marriage at that point, and we could, you know, get into a longer term relationship. And I did. I was in a relationship with education for about 8 years. So it was, you know, I was married to education longer than I've been married to my wife right now. So,
that's great.
So education and I go, you know, we have a longer relationship, but it was great. And that's what I was doing in those 8 months, was developing that relationship and getting to know it. And that's what I tell a lot of people who are looking for something and they don't know what it is that they're looking for.
Right.
I go, just go on a bunch of dates, you know, don't worry about it. And best way to start that process, just go with your friends to whatever their passions are,
right?
Because they're going to show you the best version of that passion, and they'll guide you. They'll hold your hand. They'll make sure that that first date goes, at least it wasn't a waste of your time. You may not want to go back to it.
Well, you're totally right. Okay. You also learn so much in doing that. It's what you thought it was versus what it is. I always use the analogy of, you know, you think you want to run a chocolate shop instead of have this corporate 9-to-5 job, and, you know, go volunteer your time, offer your internship capabilities to the local chocolate store and say, I want to come in on weekends and work with you, for you. Don't pay me. Just let me learn all about the business and what you do. I'm here for it. Yeah. You may learn, you know, the smell of a chocolate shop is not something you want to be around 24/7. It's really nice when you walk in there for 10 minutes or whatever that is. So the moment you start to really connect to your point in it and what you so well exemplify with something, and instead of just sort of looking at it from a distance, actually lean into it and find a way, speak to people who are involved, to your point, go with friends to things where their interests lie, like dare to like delve into it, talk to mentors, really explore it further and see whether it's something you thought was a really good idea or something that the more you get into it, the more you want to do it. And
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
You proved that to yourself. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And that's very similar to what you shared earlier in that excerpt from your book. You know, you talked about the opportunity to just take a language course out for a walk. That's a date. That is a date right there.
A
low, super low commitment. You know, look, I'm not getting married to this date, to this, you know, interest just yet. I'm just going out for a walk with this interest. That's safe. Like, that's not a bad thing. That's like getting a cup of coffee with someone. So I think that right there is, you know, it's all about like testing as many as you can and just see where they go. But I think there's one thing that's really important, and it's to make sure, I always tell people, give these interests a chance. Like, meaning, you know, if you don't like it right away, maybe give it just one more, just to be really sure. And the reason I say that is because sometimes it, depending on what that first date is, if it's a little too much, you might expose like your weaknesses in that activity. For instance, if like your first experience with golf is to go out on a full-blown golf course, and, you know, first time you grab a, you know, set of clubs and you swing and you rip the ground open, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, like I really suck at this. Like, this might not be my thing. And the fixed mindset can kind of creep in sometimes in moments like that. You're embarrassed, you're in front of other people. Oh my gosh, like maybe this isn't my sport. I shouldn't do this. I would argue, you know what? That might've been a little too much too soon. But maybe go to a driving range with like a really close friend where there's a little bit of privacy too. And you can like screw up as much as you want, but you can also have a good time. Maybe have a couple of beers with somebody and, you know, some snacks and turn it into a fun activity. That would be a nicer date. And you never know. You might then say, huh, that wasn't so bad. I think I could maybe take a lesson or two and maybe I'll learn how to hit that ball a little bit better.
I love that. You know, a lot of people listen to conversations like this and they go, it all sounds great, but how do I do it? Do you have some tools, things you talk about in your book, something you can share with us that maybe you can take the audience through that really helps put some tactics behind how to sort of get up that square one?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely connections between, you know, what you've shared in your book, some of the strategies you've shared, and then what I'm sharing in my book. But one of the key strategies or tactics that I share is to connect with new people. Make sure that on a regular basis, you know, once a month or a couple times a month, you are meeting new people. And the reason for that is simply that they are going to bring new ideas into your world. New ideas will mix with your old ideas, and they will develop into brand new ideas, even more original than the two combined. And it's important that we have that constant, steady flow. And so, you know, when people are kind of just getting started and they're not sure where their reinvention might even begin or end, I go, right, no worries. Start, find a thing you can go to. Maybe there's a group on Meetup that meets monthly. Find them and just attend that, like a Meetup session. I did this as well. Like when I had moved from St. Louis back to the New York City tri-state area where I grew up, I actually joined a Meetup on education technology. I knew I liked teaching math, but I was curious about this ed tech space and I didn't know much about it. And I found this really great ed tech meetup on meetup.com. And I just started attending those meetings and I just started listening in and connecting to different people, hearing their presentations, questions that people would ask. And all of a sudden you start meeting new people at these events and they're just bringing you new projects, new ideas. They're also doing something really important. They're asking you about what you do and, you know, what brings you to this space. And then you tell them, well, I teach math. I mean, I'm not into this tech thing. I'm not a developer. I don't know how to program an app for the life of me, but I do teach math. I'm super passionate about it. I absolutely love it. And I'm really good at it. And I'm just curious, like, where might tech play a role in this? Oh my gosh, have you heard of this app? And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
the magic starts to happen.
And you know, it's something interesting in what you just said just triggered a thought for me. When someone does ask you what you do, how do you answer that question? How do we see ourselves? How do we project who we are? What is our personal brand? And how, as we're starting to develop new interests, are we evolving that? So think about it. When was the last time you went on LinkedIn and actually updated your profile? Like on average, maybe you and I have, but really most people kind of let it sit there. And unless they actually change jobs, you know, then there's a little tweak to it. Have you gone back and really read your bio? Is that really who you are today? And more importantly, if your best friends or your closest colleagues that you've worked with for years had to describe you, how would they describe you and how do people perceive who you are? And I think, you know, that moment in time when you get to share with someone, whether it's at a cocktail party, a holiday party, a family dinner, you're seeing a relative you haven't seen or a friend that's come to the table, or you're in a business room or a conference and someone says, well, you know, who are you? Where are you from? What do? You know, how do you communicate who you are? And I think what's fun in what you just said is that as you start to incorporate something new into your life that you're excited about or interested in or passionate about, if you start to share that, you're going to start attracting those conversations that are going to pull you further and further into these other areas that you like. If you just show up and go, hey, you know, I'm a marketing director at IBM, that's what I do. That's not who you are. And who I am is what I'm passionate about, what I'm interested in, where I come from, where I want to go, you know, a lot of that, right?
Yep, absolutely. And I think when you go to these types of events, since you choose the meetup that you go to, you kind of get to bring the version of you you want to bring to this event. So I think to your point, Kathy, about like, you know, if I'm the director of this or that, that's not who I am. That's, you know, that's my title.
Yeah.
But that's not who I am. But if I go to an EdTech meetup and EdTech is completely brand new to me, the cool part about that title is that that title is meaningless at that event, especially if it's like for a bank or something or like a completely or a manufacturing company. You're like, okay, that means nothing to me. Awesome. That's a good thing. Now I get to just say, you know what? I tutor math on the side and I love it. Oh my God. I love tutoring math, you know, and then you could just talk about that, just that those 6 to 8 hours you spend tutoring math. And then once you do that and they get to know you for that passion, however much time it might take in your schedule, because it really doesn't matter. Because to me, those 8 hours a week felt like the greatest part of my week. In terms of fulfillment, that was the 80-20. That's where 80% of my fulfillment came from that, you know, 20% of my time spent teaching math on the side. And so I think when you go to these events, yes, lead with the thing that you're passionate about that connects you to that event. If there's a little hint of education in there somewhere, boom, just lead with that. Don't even worry. Check the title at the door. Check the other thing that has nothing to do with this new area at the door and have fun talking about what you're passionate about.
I love that. What else from your book? I'm trying to extract some of the great knowledge and wisdom that's in that amazing book of yours. Anything else that is tactical? You know, the challenges that people have in sort of moving into that next phase or really kind of leaning into it. Any other tips that you could share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing that I found is incredibly important for anyone, especially who's still trying to discover what that reinvention might be, is to also connect with people in a specific kind of way where you invite others to ask you questions, ask you new questions that you've never been asked. Now, the cool part about this is that this actually connects to the first strategy, which is meet new people. When you meet new people, you have an opportunity to invite them to ask you questions about what you do. Now, you could shut those questions down if you don't, you know, and that would be a shame because you're it's a disservice to you. But new questions are where you start to gain new perspectives. You start to see new opportunities that you didn't see before. And the best new questions are the ones that you don't know the answers to, because that's, for me, like, that's what I look for in these events, connecting with new people. You can also hire a coach for that. You know, I have a coach I work with still. And that coach asks me the questions that I normally wouldn't even think to ask myself. And I love it because that's what I get out of the session is, wow, I didn't think about that. Let me think about that. He's like, cool. I don't even need an answer today or now or ever. I just needed to leave you with that question because I need you to chew on that. That will help you unlock something new. And so as I'm looking to figure out what's next for me or what it might look like or what it might feel like,
yeah,
that's where new questions play a massive role. And coaches, advisors, mentors, friends, and new friends, new people you meet, are all people who are great candidates for asking you new and powerful questions.
Yeah, I love that. And I so appreciate you bringing that up because I think it's sometimes underrated. People are afraid to, quote, ask for help. And it's not asking for help. There's such a joy when you have a knowledge, an expertise, a gift, a talent, and you get to pay it forward. You get to share that. I run an agency and I have interns all the time who are part of the ecosystem of this company. And my greatest joy is knowing that I am helping these people learn about the industry, figure out whether or not this is something that they want to do, give them skills for life that they will, you know, forever have no matter where they go. And, you know, I think as adults that we could be in the same place. We can have that opportunity to really explore different parts of ourselves. And we're not just talking career. We're talking about hobbies and spirituality and health and wellness and relationships and all parts of ourselves. We're very complex beings, right? And it's wonderful when, you know, we get to really explore more of that. So for those of us who are sort of in these, you know, as we used to call them, 9-to-5 jobs, even though they're very different these days with all the flexibility and the virtual work environments and the time and sort of, you know, freedom that I think that all of this has allowed for a lot of people, not only to explore, but physically have a little more time on their hands where they're not commuting for an hour and a half. And now, wow, what would you do with that extra hour and a half? I remember, and this is kind of fun for you, when I started having children and I thought about how busy I was. I was like, what did I used to do with all that other free time that I had? You know, and you're about to discover that. Roger's a new baby for those who are tuning in. And, you know, that's kind of a fun thing to really start to make sense out of what to do with the time and passions in your life. And, you know, they say if you want something done, give it to a busy person. So great. If you're too busy to figure out, you're the one. You are the one to lean into it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting. You talk about, you know, the becoming a parent and that time that, you know, what did I do with all that time? One of the things that I discovered as I was, you know, preparing for fatherhood was this idea. And, you know, the title of the book is how to build a life aligned with your values, passion and purpose.
Yeah.
And the key idea here in the book is that your values, passions and purpose evolve over time. They don't stay the same. Even values, which seem like, wow, those are in stone, you could add new ones. And some could just, you know, become a little less important relative to a new one. And all of a sudden you shift the weight or the proportion of those values. Well, when I started getting ready for fatherhood, I started to realize that my values began shifting. And this was already after I had finished and submitted, like the editorial team had finished editing the book. It was locked in stone, or, you know, it was locked and yeah. I couldn't go back. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to say something about this, about evolving values, and just give this one example about how just getting ready for fatherhood, I started to notice my values shift. I started to think that, for instance, before we got pregnant, you know, I thought that when you have a child, like, you lose a lot of things. Like, I can't travel as freely, so I can't do these speaking engagements, and I can't do this or that. And I thought about things in terms of what I lose. Yeah. And yes, I imagine I'm obviously gaining something amazing, but I just kept focusing on all the things that I lose and how would I reconcile that? Should I do, maybe I'll do a lot of it first and then wait till much later in life to have a child. And then we get pregnant, and as we start getting into it, and I start, you know, going to the doc, we go to the OB, and you know, we're checking out the sonograms, and you're seeing the images and all of that. I'm falling in love with this little person that's like, you know, the size of a peanut.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can I? And this was the question that came to mind: how can I design a life where I am home with Sophia for the first 5 years of her life? All of a sudden, everything shifted. Yeah. It wasn't about how do I get all this travel done? No, now it's like, how do I get rid of all of this travel? That's, I don't like it anymore. Right. Like, I need to get travel out of my life and I need to be home or be with her or do it. And it's caused me to think very differently about my life, my career, what I pursue, what I do. And in fact, I took massive action on that. And I got, I booked time with a literary agent to just get some guidance on what an author career would look like.
Right.
Because I'm working on two other books right now. And it's, you know, I started thinking, what if I just wrote books for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can write all day. So, you know, that part, it's just a matter of sitting down and all that. And I thought this could be done. And so I asked somebody what that would look like, because I thought maybe this is how I spend the next 5 years of my life.
Yeah.
Mostly writing books, and then building that up. And I don't have to release them all at once, but I could release them over time.
Yeah.
And so that change in values, that shift,
causes
us to think differently. And when we think differently, we come up with new ideas, we get innovative, and that's where reinvention starts.
I love that. You know what? I just love so many of the themes and the touch points of what you just said. And thank you for that, because I think some of us kind of feel like it's backwards. Something's going to lead us to that place where then we have time for the things that we value, as opposed to letting the things that we value that we're passionate about really dictate the way we're going to choose to live our lives. And I think we're living in an era now where the awareness around that, the sensitivity around that is so much greater. And giving people permission, you know, I use a word in my book and in my conversations about feeling entitled. And we are all entitled to live the life that we want. It's a question of understanding that we're entitled and then putting the plan into action. And whether it's 5 minutes or 10 years, we have the ability to create what we want. And yes, we may have someone who is a single mother working two jobs with three children and going, I can never open a chocolate store on Main Street or get to write books and sit around and do that. Like, there are ways, if we plan for what we want, to get as close to it, if not everything about it. And the things that come up along the way in that journey are really going to open a lot of doors and a lot of possibilities, as long as we believe that we are entitled. Every one of us is the center of our own world. So the ability to create what we want is really meaningful and important. And we just have to allow ourselves that and recognize those small milestones like you did along the way as you were starting to tutor and just said, you know what, this is great. I love it. Pat yourself on the back and recognize that what you're doing is good for you and good for the people around you, because you are now a happier person doing something that you love. And, you know, getting the buy off of those around us who are part of our ecosystem is super important as well. So, you know, it doesn't mean drop everything you're doing and run for the hills and pretend your previous life didn't exist, although some people may do that. But how do you work this new idea of what you want to be doing into your day-to-day life? And that's why allowing ourselves that leeway to figure it out, to tune into it, to try it on, to experiment with it, and then start to incorporate it into our life to a point where one shifts and the other, you know, one suddenly becomes the center of your life and the other thing can go away. So that's pretty special. And I think, Roger, you've sort of lived this before you wrote the book. You were living it. You had a real story of your own journey to share, but you were also inspiring so many other people in so many different ways with your stories and all of the exercises and tools that you share in the book. Before we open this up for Q&A, which we're going to do in just a moment, is there anything else that you want to share from your book or from your conversations and all the keynote conversations and talks that you do around the world? Is there anything else that you'd like to share that you think is particularly insightful that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
Yeah, for sure. I've got a couple of quotes that I want to share with everyone, and I think these will kind of give way to a great Q&A. So I'm going to share my screen for a moment here.
Fantastic.
Let me get it into presentation mode.
And for those who are listening on the podcast, I think Roger's going to, of course, read what these are out loud, and maybe we can even put them into the show notes so that they're just keepable, if mm-hmm. there is such a word.
There we go. And just give me a thumbs up if you see that.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much. So take a moment to digest this, and I'm going to read it out loud in about 10 seconds. So the quote is, reinvention has nothing to do with becoming someone else and everything to do with becoming who you really are. Now, this is an idea that I didn't go into the book with. I didn't begin writing this book with this idea in mind. It was something that came out of all the interviews. It came out of all the research. It was inspired by, you know, winemakers that I spoke to. It was engineers. It was, basketball athletes I looked at that I studied, and even going back to like Leonardo da Vinci and really getting to understand his journey and his career and how he became who he eventually did. And looking at this idea came through, and essentially it's challenging this idea that we often think when we reinvent something, we're just changing who we are. And that is the farthest thing from what reinvention is, especially personal reinvention. Personal reinvention for me is all about getting closer to who you really are. You know, we start wherever we start. In my case, I started with a dream of pursuing corporate, you know, leadership and moving up that corporate ladder. However, that was what I came to learn upon reflection, and I'm talking like in the last couple of years, was that a lot of that was, I guess, impressed upon me by the university, you know, the business school and all of that. That was a big thing, and was going into a big company and working your way up the corporate ladder. And I didn't know that. And it was fine because I signed up for that. I was okay with that. But as I got out there and started discovering math, I realized, oh gosh, I think there's something else that I wasn't aware of. And I'm starting to get closer to it. And that first reinvention started moving me in that direction. Mm. And I realized it wasn't even just math education. I did that for 8 years. I was married to math for 8 years, and then I moved on and moved into other things.
Yeah.
And I explored other passions. And so I want people to really take away this idea that reinvention is an opportunity to peel the layers, if you will, and move closer to the core of who you really are. And each subsequent reinvention will get you a little bit closer, because you always bring something from the last one into the next one. A lot of people think that reinvention means starting from scratch. And I always tell people reinvention never starts from scratch. We exactly. always bring something into the next one. And so this key idea here is something that I want to leave people with, because I think that it is something that makes reinvention empowering and I think more inviting.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, it's that we are the same person, but in a different state, because we are really engaging in so many things. If you even look at the icon on my book, you know, it takes us from being in a messy state or a state of whatever it is in our lives to the clarity of us mm-hmm. just in a different state of being and perhaps yep. going back and forth. And, you know, that piece of string or yarn that is indicated in this image is the same piece of yarn, but in a different mm-hmm. state. And that's yes. at the core of who we are. So I love
yes.
that.
And that's why I use the word journey in the title for my yeah. book, The Journey to Reinvention. Because that wasn't even the original title. It was more strategy based, you know? And then all of a sudden I saw that, no, this is a journey to becoming who we really are. And that's what the journey to that's why the journey word came into this title. And so, yeah, I think this is what it's all about.
I love that. Do you have another quote to share with us?
Yeah, there's one more that I'll
okay.
share right now.
Fabulous.
Let's do that. And this is the last one before we go into Q&A. All right. And if you see that, give me a thumbs up. Awesome. And I'll go ahead and read that one for everyone who's listening in. So you don't have to know what to do in order to start, but you have to start in order to figure out what you need to do. So start now. And this one is just like, you know, I've realized like in life, how many times, and I'm going to stop sharing here, but I'll read that one more time. You don't have to know what to do in order to start, but you do have to start in order to figure out what you have to do. And, you know, for me, the idea there was that there's so many times in life that people have handed me what I wanted on a silver platter. They have said, here's this opportunity that I have. And it's so aligned with what I wanted. And then only to have me respond, I'd like to think about that. I'd like more information, please. Or I think I need to learn some new skills in order to take advantage of this opportunity that's been handed to me on a silver platter. And it's this desire, this need, I guess, that we sometimes feel to be totally ready for something. Like I have to know exactly how it works before I engage in it. I can't just go and become a coach. I have to know everything about coaching first, you know, or I want to become a speaker. I got to know everything about becoming a speaker before delivering my first talk. And what I discovered along the journey to writing this book and along my own journey is that the best way to figure it out is to just do it. And, you know, you and I, Kathy, you and I talked about in our prep call, we talked about the idea of experiments. And this is the role. This is where experiments play a role. Experiments allow us to get started. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the whole point of an experiment. It's not even to succeed or fail. Like, that's not even the point of an experiment. The point of an experiment at the beginning of the journey is to start. Simply so that when you start on that journey, you can start to see what needs to be done next. And so I always tell people the path will illuminate itself once you start walking. You know, if you can imagine yourself in a pitch like dark forest and you have a flashlight, that flashlight only goes so far. If you want to see farther, you need to walk part of that path and then you'll illuminate the rest, the next part of the path. And that just keeps happening as you go along. Same thing with reinvention. You don't need to know exactly how to start, but you just got to get in there somehow and begin doing something. And for me, my first experiment in teaching math was a Craigslist ad that I put up where I offered my tutoring services. This was even before the learning, before I got the job at the learning center.
Right.
I picked up one client and I worked with that one client for several months. So I walked with that flashlight for a while, learned a lot about this like curiosity I had about teaching math and working with math students. I had tutored math when I was in high school and I had a lot of fun doing that. But now it was like many years had passed and I've almost forgotten about that interest. And I just decided to put up a Craigslist ad and I got that one client and that led me to the Learning Center. The Learning Center led me to quit my job, which then led me to go back to school, which then led me to show up at a golf outing where a school district was hosting. And, you know, I donated some money to get into it. And I met a superintendent who then led me to the next opportunity and so on and so forth. That's the whole thing. You just need to start. And so that's before we go into Q&A, I wanted to leave everybody with that because I think we just need to get started. And if you think about it in those terms and put it in your terms, Kathy, we are entitled to get started. So let's start.
I love that. Roger, God, now my heart is so full with your words and your thoughts and you're so inspiring. And yet I have this conversation with people every day and I just love your take on it and your perspective and truly how you've embodied everything you talk about. And I think that is just so wonderfully serving to those who get to read your book, that hear you speak, that are going to listen to this conversation. That, you know, I've always said I'm a curator of these conversations. I've lived my sort of dream life running my own business for over 30 years now. And, you know, it all started because everybody used to say, wow, you're so lucky. Look at you. Look at what you get to do with your life. And I said, well, it's by design. I kind of created it that way because that's what I decided I wanted to be able to do. And yet you've been on the journey of really sort of looking at these milestones and opening up your heart and your ability to create what you need. And I think there are so many lessons in all of that for so many of us. And just, you know, to take one piece of our life and just be able to kind of reconnect with ourselves. I have a chapter in here that says, hello, are you still in there? And it's one of my favorite because it makes us just stop for a moment and go like, what did I want when I was little? And what was I passionate about? And here I am. And so many people, 20 years later, I've been at this one job and, you know, COVID or no COVID, that is just kind of a general premise in reality that, you know, we've got to really take care of ourselves and we can do it proactively and we can be mindful about the decisions we make about where we want to go and what we want to be and who we want to spend our time with. and we are entitled to that. So this is fun. I am going to sort of turn to our Q&A part of this conversation. So I am going to sign off to all of my wonderful guests that are listening in on the podcast and say thank you for being here. And if you do want to hear what we're about to talk about in the Q&A, please go to the reinventionexchange.com. This virtual chat will be on there. You'll be able to watch us, hear us, see us, this whole conversation that is happening with everyone on the screen, and hear the rest of the Q&A part of this conversation. And for those that don't do that, please feel free to go to the Reinvention Exchange at any time and read all the blogs and content and podcasts that are there. And we're going to include all of this incredible information about how to follow Roger on LinkedIn and where to find his book online and follow all of the wonderful things that he's doing. So I'm going to say goodbye to Roger for the podcast. So thank you all for being here and happy reinventing. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.